Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're going to get right to it. As I mentioned yesterday, we're going to talk about something with regards to sleep. The main thing, sleep apnea, and the effects. I mean, a lot of people get it diagnosed, get it treated in one way or another. CPAP is very popular in terms of a treatment, but not necessarily very popular in terms of usage. So unfortunately, a lot of people gravitate away from the CPAP. If you have sleep issues, particularly sleep apnea, there is a new treatment that we're going to talk about with Dr. Jesse Backer, who is the Executive Vice President of Medical Affairs at Signifier Medical Technologies, and she's on the faculty of Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, and she specializes and teaches epidemiological studies and sleep medicine. I am so surprised I got through that last word. Hi, Dr. Backer. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me, Jay. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do and the development of this device.
Absolutely. So, yeah, my name is Jesse Backer, and I lead the medical affairs team here at Signifier Medical Technologies. So, by way of background, I'm a research scientist by training, and I have a PhD in sleep medicine from the University of Otago all the way over in New Zealand, and I've been based here in the U.S. for about 10 years. So my role at Signifier is to, as I mentioned, lead the clinical and medical affairs team, and a lot of that is really working on ramping up our clinical trials and building up some more clinical evidence for how our device actually works and who stands to benefit the most.
So as I mentioned to you before the show, my husband and I both did sleep studies, and I know he did try to CPAP for a while. I just decided that it just wasn't going to work for me. I just know me. You know, I toss and turn a lot. I get up a lot. It just wasn't going to do me any good. So I was looking for other, other ways to kind of, I guess, deal with the issue of sleep apnea. Can you, first of all, before we go further, because there are some people that still don't know what sleep apnea is, and, I mean, it can be very, very detrimental, even to the point of death, right?
That's right. So the word apnea just means the absence of breathing. And so by sleep apnea, we're referring to a group of conditions where people stop breathing for periods of time while they're sleeping. And it really comes in two main forms. Central sleep apnea is a neurological condition. And basically what that means is that the brain just doesn't send the right signals to the muscles that control breathing. The other form of sleep apnea, which is far more common, is obstructive sleep apnea. So when you hear the term sleep apnea, most of the time it's probably referring to obstructive sleep apnea or OSA. And what that means is that while someone is sleeping, their upper airway, which is the area of the throat just behind the back of the tongue, collapses in on itself while somebody is asleep. So just for example, if you were to open your mouth and look in a mirror and stick a flashlight in there, all that red tissue that you see at the back of the throat, it's all quite soft and floppy. Like in humans, there isn't a hard, bony structure back there. And so in some people, it can collapse pretty easily. And that means that once that air passage becomes either partially or completely blocked, breathing pauses for periods of 10 seconds or more at a time. And it happens over and over again when somebody with obstructive sleep apnea goes to sleep. So any night of the week plus naps.
Now, my understanding also with sleep apnea is that there are a variety of things that can contribute to it, obesity or being overweight, sinus issues. Can you talk about some of the causes or factors
sure.
that contribute to sleep apnea?
Absolutely. So excessive weight is certainly one underlying cause of sleep apnea, but it's not the only cause. There is a bit of a stereotype out there that sleep apnea is something that happens to people who are carrying extra weight. But actually, you know, we see it in males and females, all ages, all races and ethnic backgrounds, and all body sizes. So beyond extra weight, some other causes include poor upper airway muscle effectiveness or responsiveness. So in some people, the muscles around the back of the tongue and the throat just aren't active or aren't strong enough to hold the throat open during sleep. Sometimes also there are anatomical reasons. So some people just naturally have a smaller airway than others, meaning that it's easier for those people to for their airway to close over at night. Some have a recessed jaw. So, for example, the chin sits a little bit further back in some people than others, and that can also kind of crowd the airway. That there are a whole lot of other more complex things that go on in the human body with breathing control and the threshold at which we arouse from sleep, all of which can contribute to unstable breathing. So it can get pretty complicated. You're absolutely right that excess weight is certainly one underlying cause. And that's important because in many cases that's a reversible cause. But there is a genetic component and lots of other factors that can go on as well.
Do you possibly have an estimate in terms of how many people suffer from this condition in our country?
Yeah, so it's probably more common than you might think. The latest large-scale study suggested that 34% of men and 17% of women aged in that 70-year-old age bracket have some degree of obstructive sleep apnea, which equates to just over 50 million individuals within the United States. It's very common. Central sleep apnea, as I mentioned earlier, is not as common as obstructive sleep apnea. And there's actually not as much information on snoring. But snoring can happen in the absence of actual sleep apnea. And estimates are around that end of adults have some degree of snoring. How loud it is and how frequent it is varies. But there are a lot of people out there with untreated breathing conditions happening overnight.
Okay, so you have a different treatment than the norm. Can you tell us a little bit about it and why it could be, you know, I guess more effective or and it works differently than the traditional treatments?
Sure. So I'll take a second to describe the therapy. XciteOSA, that's the name of the device. It's designed to treat snoring and mild obstructive sleep apnea by training the airway muscles during the day. So neuromuscular electrical stimulation, NMES, as a general concept has been around for a long time, most notably in sports medicine. So in that kind of a setting, the electrical stimulation is applied to a muscle through the skin, or in this case, we're talking about the tongue, and that causes the muscle to contract while the device is in use. And that kind of electrical stimulation of muscles has been used for strength training, selective muscle retraining after injury, that kind of thing. So XciteOSA takes that concept and applies it to the muscles of the upper airway. So the largest muscle in that area is the genioglossus, and that makes up most of the tongue. And around that, there are some other smaller muscles as well. And so Excite-OSA is designed to stimulate the genioglossus muscle and build up endurance. And in some people, that is sufficient to treat obstructive sleep apnea. So the device itself consists of a control unit, which is rechargeable, and it attaches to a flexible silicon mouthpiece. And the mouthpiece has four pads on it. And once the device is put into the mouth and turned on, those pads just give a very small electrical impulse to the tongue muscle. And that causes it to contract over and over again during a 20-minute session. So the whole thing is controlled very simply through a smartphone app. It's pretty simple. And the patient themselves who's using it, they're in complete control over how much stimulation they receive. So they can adjust it up and down in the app. And we recommend that people use it at the highest level of stimulation that they can that they're comfortable with. For 20 minutes a day for 6 weeks. And once a person has successfully gone through that first 6 weeks of daily therapy, we recommend that they drop down to just two sessions a week. So like any kind of muscle training or, you know, hitting the gym or anything like that, it does require some ongoing commitment to maintain that training over time.
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to answer the second part of your question, and that is to really talk about how it differs from existing treatments. So the key difference, which I just referred to, is that Excite-OSA is a daytime therapy. There's no nighttime component at all. So treatments for sleep apnea these days are devices. There's no currently approved drug treatment for OSA. And although surgery is an option for some people, it's not that common, and it requires very careful patient selection. So most people end up on a device-based therapy. So one that, you know, I know you've heard of, and I'm sure many listeners have as well, is CPAP, which stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. And that involves wearing a mask over the nose or mouth or both. And the mask is then connected to a bedside device, which blows air down into the throat, and that holds it open. As you mentioned earlier, G, it does take a bit of getting used to, and we do see that there are some people that just really can't get comfortably established on CPAP. There are some other options, like oral appliances, which are a little bit like a mouth guard, more sophisticated than a mouth guard, but that's kind of what they look like. And they're designed to pull the lower jaw forward to create a bit more space in the back of the throat. And the final therapy option I'll mention, there are others, but the final I'll mention is that for those with much more severe sleep apnea that haven't been able to find another therapy that works well for them, there are implantable nerve stimulated devices. But what all those therapies have in common is that they're used overnight, whereas Excite-OSA is the first FDA-authorized device designed to treat an underlying cause of sleep apnea by training the muscle during the daytime.
It was interesting to me just when you mentioned one of the things that you mentioned that I kind of noticed myself and try to work on myself. I didn't use a guard, but like you talked about pulling the bottom jaw forward, pulling the jaw forward. Because one of the things I noticed is if I adjust my pillow and I'm able to pull my jaw forward a little bit, that it does make a difference in my snoring and in my breathing too. You know, one of the reasons I noticed because I have a tendency to clench sometimes, and so, you know, I started noticing that. So, but yeah, this would be great because it's something that you know. I guess you were talking about doing it during the day, and probably something I would suspect something you could do like maybe first thing in the morning or in the evening prior to bedtime, just to to work on that until you, I guess you could say, until you eventually wean off of it, I guess, or diminish the use of it. So who mostly, though, benefits from this particular machine?
Yeah, so Excite OSA is really targeted towards those with mild obstructive sleep apnea and snoring. So they're really the people that we target. The other people, though, to keep in mind that we have evidence will benefit from this therapy are those bed partners, because obstructive sleep apnea and snoring, they can really have a negative impact on a bed partner's sleep. I mean, snoring alone, which is very common, can be mm-hmm. pretty loud and pretty disruptive. Once the snoring progresses to actual sleep apnea, then it can be pretty scary, pretty alarming for a bed partner to listen to the person next to them stop breathing for periods of time. So, you know, as I think I mentioned earlier, an apnea, in order to kind of contribute to the diagnosis, has to last for at least 10 seconds. But a lot of apneas that we see are more in the range of 25 seconds or so, and in very severe cases, they can be up to a minute. That's a long time to hold your breath, even if you just try it during the day with a timer on your phone. In the studies that we've done so far, we've asked bed partners to complete a diary reporting snoring intensity, mm-hmm. and we've seen that over that first 6 weeks of therapy, about 50% of the time of the the snoring intensity is reduced, and that the effect is actually sustained even if we withdraw therapy for 2 weeks. So 6 weeks on therapy and then ask the bed partner to assess snoring. Even at that stage, when somebody's not actively using therapy, we've seen reductions in snoring over that time, which suggests, you know, some kind of ongoing training of the muscle. Yeah, so bed partners is an often overlooked kind of secondary person involved in a diagnosis of sleep apnea for sure.
I want to just mention, because we tend to take a good night's sleep for granted and stuff like that, but one of the reasons I mentioned that it could possibly lead to something as serious as death is just because there was a case that I remember. Some may remember football player Reggie White. He died back in 2004 at the age of 43. From what I'm reading, it says from a cardiac arrhythmia, which was partially caused by his untreated sleep apnea. His CPAP machine was found at his bedside unused. He has actually, he has a legacy foundation that continues to help people to manage their own sleep apnea. But, you know, you don't think about someone at that age dying from something that could have been treated, you know, and with a device that he already had but wasn't using. But that's just really how, number one, how uncomfortable this device is for a lot of people, that they would just rather not even be bothered with it and take the risk and take the chance, you know, because we just don't know, you know, or aren't generating enough awareness in terms of how serious sleep apnea can be. So.
Right. Yeah. I certainly remember that really tragic case of a few years ago, and I know that foundation is doing a lot of good work to kind of raise awareness, because you're absolutely right. When sleep apnea progresses into much more, you know, up to the more severe end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. it can lead to some pretty scary things. It will certainly increase somebody's risk of things like a heart attack and stroke, because all of the changes in blood oxygen that happen if somebody's breathing is disrupted overnight, that all puts a lot of extra stress on the heart and the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens every night and every daytime nap. So it builds up and builds up. We often see that people with untreated obstructive sleep apnea have high blood pressure. And if left untreated and severe, it can cause some of those much more scary and really tragic consequences. And, in addition to that, there's the daytime symptoms. A lot of people with sleep apnea are really tired during the day. I've heard it described as like a brain fog or just feeling like the battery's not charged. And it can interfere with memory and concentration and is linked with, mood conditions like depression. So there's a lot of different symptoms. If we can diagnose it, which is part of the challenge, there are certainly therapy options. But just like with every drug or every device therapy out there, they'll only work if they're being used.
Definitely, yeah. Because like I was saying, they said his CPAP was unused. This, though, I think, like you said, because it's something that you could use during the day and you're very conscious about, how it works, and you're talking about 20-minute sessions versus wearing a device all night long, I think this is something that could really be useful and maybe, it just makes common sense to use something like this. So now, one of my questions is, because people are going to ask questions like, where do I get it? How much does it cost? Does it need a prescription? Those types of things. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So let's get into the practical details. where can I get it? So first of all, if anyone is concerned about their own snoring, sleep, or maybe a bed partner's snoring, talking to a primary care provider is a good first step. Oftentimes, they might be referred to a sleep specialist who can organize some testing, and that's obviously an important step because it can rule out other sleep disorders or maybe other contributors to something like high blood pressure, and also tell the patients and their clinician how severe the sleep apnea is and therefore what therapies are an option. So that's really step number one is talking to a healthcare provider. And actually on our website, we do have a Find a Physician tool where people can go on and put in your location and it will bring up a list of nearby physicians who are prescribing Excite OSA and have some experience with it. So that's the access. At the moment, it is not covered by insurance, but we are working on it. So the device...
I know that's a process, yeah.
Yeah, that is a bit of a process. We have a whole team dedicated to that at the moment. So our device received FDA authorization back in February of this year, which is obviously a big hurdle for a medical device company. And our next big focus as a company is working on getting the device reimbursed and making it more accessible. It is compatible, though, with a flexible spending account or a health spending account. In terms of, other aspects of cost beyond the financial pieces, the device itself is really being designed to be easily accessible. And, we've designed it to remove as many barriers as we can. So, for example, it doesn't require a fitting. The mouthpiece comes in just one size and it's flexible, so it fits lots of different sizes and shapes of the teeth and the jaw. And that means that it's easy to set up and use at home, and it doesn't require a whole lot of specialist assistance. And in terms of the time outlay, 20 minutes a day for most people, we can carve out 20 minutes. and the key,
yeah,
really, much like any other, behavior change or habit forming, the key is to try to tie it to something that you already have as part of your daytime routine. So if you're somebody that gets up and reads the paper, or these days, I guess, a lot of people begin their day at their home office reading their emails and responding. Maybe that's a good time for 20 minutes to put the mouthpiece in and get through a therapy session. Or alternatively, I know a lot of people keep it next to their bed because that's a good reminder to get a session in just before going off to sleep. So eventually it'll become habit like most other things in life, but the key is just to find a convenient time to build it into the daily routine.
Yeah, I went through your website and I see the picture on the website. There's a guy and he's just sitting there with his laptop or whatever with a device in his mouth and he's going about his business, the same.
Exactly. Yep. You can do it while you're cooking. The only thing you really can't do is speak, obviously, while you have a mouthpiece in. So, but yeah, if you've got 20 minutes at some other time of day where you can occupy your mind doing something else, yep, that's a good time to get going.
Yeah. So, goodness gracious, I just wish this was discovered a lot earlier. And I'm hoping that it gets to the point where the insurance does cover it because I'm not sure exactly what all the costs are involved, but I mean, I'm sure for some people it's going to be cost prohibitive until or unless it can get covered by insurance, but, you know, I'm glad that process is underway. So would you have to have study first before something like this is prescribed? And is this something that you can ask a doctor for? If they say, you know, we want to put you on a CPAP, I'm like, no, I want this. can that happen?
Yeah, so, yes, it is a prescription device. So that's the first step. And, yes, it will require a sleep study in most cases. And that, as I mentioned, is to rule out other sleep disorders and also mm-hmm. figure out how severe the sleep apnea is because how severe it is really then dictates what therapy option is best. So if somebody has really very severe sleep apnea, then, probably maybe something like CPAP would be a better option for that person. As I mentioned, Excite-OSA is really targeting the milder end.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a discussion to have with a primary care physician or a sleep specialist. Who will be able to work with the patient and figure out what's best. But it's a fairly low barrier therapy to get started on. Obviously cost is a barrier. And I also understand that there's a bit of hesitation when someone isn't sure if it's really going to work for them, especially a therapy that, you know, is fairly new to the market. We do currently offer a customer satisfaction guarantee, which we hope will go some way to, breaking down some barriers. So if someone does opt in to therapy and they pay that upfront cost, if they're able to use their device and follow the program for the full 6 weeks, if they're not satisfied by the end, they can reach out to us and get a refund for the control unit. And so, you know, we hope that at least while we're building up evidence and raising awareness, that goes some way to put people's minds at ease.
Okay. So the first thing you suggest is if someone is having sleep issues, snoring a lot or something going on, to first go to the doctor and then, you know, ask the doctor if they would suggest a sleep study, I guess, and then go through the study and then have the doctor present alternatives, but at the same time, look into, you know, be educated yourself, look into all of your options, and this might be one of them that your doctor might not even know about, but you could actually ask your doctor to look into as well. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. And it can be prescribed for snoring in the absence of sleep apnea as well. So there's a number of different people that might benefit and, you know, gee, that's actually a really good advice in general for health is to, try to educate yourself as a patient and really become part of the conversation with your doctor about, you know, what therapy options are going to be best for you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, your doctor knows a lot, but, you know, doctors have a lot of patients and doctors are doing a lot and they sometimes can't keep up on everything, you know, but at the same time, you know, you can't always self-diagnose either. You know, but have the information at least to ask, because I know my doctor is like, where are you getting this stuff from? You know, I ask her all kinds of questions, you know, like, where are you reading this stuff? I like to have a good dialogue with my doctor and let them know that I'm just not taking my health for granted. And so, I just think it's a good thing. And I really think that this is definitely something that could help a lot of people. And now, I guess one last question. I know you have to go. After 6 weeks, what, if this isn't working out, or let's say it works at first, and then down the road a person starts having problems, can they come back to using the device? Can they extend the period of time that they're on it, or can they come back to it?
Yeah, so the therapy program is daily use for the first 6 weeks, but
right.
then twice a week usage after that over the long term. So okay. it's not a short-term 6 week only treatment. So just like any other form of, you know, muscle training or exercise, it does need that level of ongoing engagement just to keep the muscle kind of in shape, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So where does our audience go to find out more information?
ExciteOSA.com. You'll find
Excite
a whole lot of information there. Yep. Describing the device itself, as well as a lot of our information that we're building up from our various clinical trials.
Perfect. Dr. Backer, thank you so much for taking the time out this morning. I'm excited. I'm because I do have sleep issues, serious sleep issues, and so I'm actually wanting to maybe check into this, because I think this would be something that I could actually use that would be helpful for me and other people that I know. So, but I really appreciate you taking the time out, and congratulations on the development of this device, and you know, just thank you for your work in this area. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Gretchen.
So if you've missed anything, you can keep the link and listen to it again and get the information. And she did also say you can go to exciteosa.com. And we're going to come back. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have something that you want to talk about, comments or questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we want to thank again Dr. Jesse Backer for joining us this morning to talk about Excite OSA. It's a daytime treatment for sleep apnea. And so just talk to your doctor if you're having issues, you know, anything that is new that might be of benefit. If you're having sleep troubles, you know, I take a look at it for sure. Tomorrow we have Bert and Kelso on. It's Tech Thursday, one of our favorite days on G's Power Hour, and then Friday in the Garden on Friday. They have a show coming up on Monday. I'll have to tell you more about it as soon as I get some stuff nailed down, but please don't miss it. And one of the things that I did want to mention, there's a research study regarding prostate cancer in Black men. And they are looking for people to volunteer. There is a flyer. I'm going to try to download it and post it on G's Power Hour Facebook page. But we hope to have someone on next week to talk about this particular research study. It's for Black men who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, black men over the age of 30 that have never been diagnosed with prostate cancer, a spouse, a relative, caregiver, or friend of a black man has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and are at least 21 years of age, physicians, nurses, social workers, psychologists, and healthcare team members who provide care to black men who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer and prostate cancer advocates. So, you know, they're recruiting for all of those. I am going to, like I said, try to post this on G's Power Hour Facebook page and some of my other social media so that if you can and are interested in participating, you know, please don't hesitate. My father had prostate cancer. I remember very well the treatments that he had, and this was back in kind of the late 80s, and the results of some of that treatment because, you know, treatment wasn't as advanced as it is now. So there were, you know, side effects that he had to live with through the rest of his life. So I strongly encourage anybody that can be helpful in this research to please step forward. So like I said, I'm going to get that flyer up today on the G's Power Hour Facebook page and ask you to please look at the flyer. If you can pass it along, want to do that as well. But we will have someone on next week to talk more about the study. According to the information I received, annually more than 29,000 black men will be newly diagnosed. That's newly diagnosed with prostate cancer. Black men are considered to be at high risk for prostate cancer and suffer disproportionately from this cancer. So, you know, and like I said, this is a near and dear thing to my heart. Consider it, but don't hesitate too long. Their goal is to schedule focus groups beginning mid-October. So, you know, every, you know, time is of the essence. So just please consider it. So anyway, just wanted to pass that along to you. And we're going to let you go today. Thank you for joining us. And this has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, wear your mask. And all real power comes from God. Take care.
tomorrow.